Kia ora, ko Craig McCullough Kaho, ane te purongo toranga pū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. In July 2020, a shell-shocked National Caucus met in the wake of Todd Muller's departure and elected Judith Collins to rebuild the party. She was somewhat presciently described at the time as the nuclear option. This week, she leaves the job with the party in ruins, turfed out by an again shell-shocked caucus after her ham-fisted attempt to take out a rival. The unravelling began Wednesday night at about 9:30 when an email dropped in reporters' inboxes. The press release was titled, "Simon Bridges Demoted Following Complaint."
National's leader Judith Collins has demoted Simon Bridges following an accusation he made inappropriate comments to a female National MP several years ago.
It wasn't just the media sent scrambling. Most of the MPs were caught completely off guard. Those still at Parliament for a late night sitting were fielding bewildered text messages, their own confusion soon turning to frustration and fury. The details of the complaint were scarce, though Ms. Collins referenced serious misconduct and said she would not tolerate harassment or intimidation. "I was left with no option," she said. Her own MPs, still reeling, were much less certain of that. The timing and process led them to believe there was more at play, and by the following morning, as MPs returned to Parliament, the feeling was palpable.
It'd be fair to say I don't think anyone's very happy with how this has played out at all.
Oh, obviously it's a traumatic time for us.
Just when we get Australian cricket on the back foot, we go and shoot ourselves in the foot, don't we? I know, it's extraordinary.
It hasn't been handled well at all.
I don't know both sides of the story, and I want to. I've got a lot of questions in my own mind.
The most frank was Simon O'Connor, Mr. Bridges' brother-in-law, not mincing his words.
To make it abundantly clear, I cannot work with Judith Collins as leader. And I'm handing over all my portfolios this morning. I cannot and will not work with her, both in good conscience or on behalf of the National Party.
And do other caucus colleagues feel similarly?
I hope that they do, and I hope that they make a stand. There are some times where the party and its values need to come to the fore, and one of the reasons this party is struggling is that leadership has stepped away from those values.
By then, a clearer picture was firming of the accusations against Mr. Bridges, the complaint going back to early 2016. Then, at a caucus function at Wellington's Premier House, Mr. Bridges had been speaking with a group of colleagues, including Jackie Dean. While discussing their families, Mr. Bridges said he and his wife were keen to have a daughter, and made an off-colour comment about the best way to conceive one. He inquired about what he now calls an old wives' tale. Suffice to say, it involved various sexual methods. Ms. Dean took offence and complained. Mr. Bridges was spoken to and then apologised at the time. All of a sudden, Judith Collins' actions were taking on a different light. In her MP's eyes, they seemed a rash overreaction, a dramatic overreach. The comments, while certainly crude and inappropriate, seemed to have been sufficiently dealt with some 5 years ago. Judith Collins' actions were beginning to look not like appropriate discipline, but like a hit job on a former leader widely known to be plotting a comeback. Simon Bridges called it as much when arriving at Parliament on Thursday morning.
What we saw yesterday was truly desperate stuff from Judith Collins. I think it shows actually that she'll go to any length to hold on to the leadership of the National Party. There's a huge amount I want to say about what happened yesterday and how wrong it was, and I assure you I will. But I want to talk to my caucus first and be very clear with them about what I think and what I think should happen for the National Party. But I assure you, I will do a full press conference after that as soon as possible.
Are you going to challenge Judith Collins for the leadership?
I'm not going to answer questions now. I've said my piece, but I assure you, I'll answer all your questions after caucus, which is happening at 9 a.m. this morning, in which I saw a caucus yesterday evening. Judith Collins was still in the precinct, but she wouldn't have a caucus yesterday. Finally, we have one this morning, and I'm looking forward to that. Thanks very much.
And into the crisis talks he went. About 3 hours the caucus spent behind closed doors, a ritual bloodletting inside. We know how it ended. A no-confidence vote, and Judith Collins gone as leader.
And I've done everything I possibly could, and I just wish everyone well.
Do you regret last month's statement?
Never.
Do you stand by?
Absolutely.
Ms. Collins fired off a farewell on her favoured social media platform, tweeting, "I am pleased to say that I am just the MP for Papakura again." She endeavoured to paint her actions as ones of principle. Jackie Dean had mentioned the incident regarding Mr. Bridges to her in recent weeks in the context of Parliament's culture review. Ms. Collins says she felt she had to act, even knowing it would likely prompt the end of her leadership. But Ms. Dean has since revealed other details in an interview with the Otago Daily Times. She says she was surprised and disappointed her conversation with Ms. Collins had prompted Mr. Bridges' demotion. The outcome, she says, was not her intention. There are other discrepancies with Ms. Collins' account too. In her initial media release, she claimed to have the board's unanimous support in her actions. But in a statement sent to party members on Thursday, the president, Peter Goodfellow, flatly rejected that.
No specific penalties or actions were discussed, agreed or endorsed by the board at its meeting yesterday beyond our support for an investigation in line with due process. It was not and is not a role of the board to give approval to demote caucus members or to take similar action.
Altogether, it was too much for the caucus. Their loyalty to Judith Collins had already been shaky, but her colossal misjudgment vanquished any last remnants. Her deputy, Shane Retty, fronted to media in the aftermath.
The National Caucus met this morning to discuss a press release issued last night about an allegation of an historic comment made by the Honourable Simon Bridges towards the Honourable Jackie Dean. The caucus was concerned with the content of the press release and the process by which it was issued. The caucus moved a motion for a vote of no confidence in the leader, and that motion was successful. As a result, the Honourable Judith Collins is no longer the leader of the National Party, and according to party convention, I have assumed the role of interim leader until the caucus meets again on Tuesday to choose a new leader. On behalf of the caucus, I'd like to thank the Honourable Judith Collins for her valuable service to the party.
Shortly after Dr. Retty's comments, Mr. Bridges entered the room and took the podium. As promised earlier in the day, he had more to say, a speech prepared.
Kia ora koutou, good afternoon. This morning, the National Party caucus had a vote of no confidence in Judith Collins. In large part, it was due to a press release around me issued last night that just wasn't correct. I want to let you know what happened.
He laid out his version of events of the 2016 incident, his off-colour comments, and then a mea culpa.
I regret what I said. I wasn't aware of its impact on Jackie. Now I have certainly been made aware of its significant effect, and that's a really, as I say, valuable lesson for me. I share her desire for a modern, inclusive workplace and work environment. And again, I've today offered her my apology for what happened several years ago.
It's hardly the dream campaign start, but the questions quickly turned to the new job vacancy and whether Mr. Bridges might fancy another go in the role.
I haven't decided that. I want to consider that over the next day or two. I think today in particular, I'm an older, possibly wiser guy than I was certainly 5 or 6 years ago, but even a couple of years ago when I was leader of the National Party. So that's something I'm going to consider.
RNZ understands he has since done his considering and does intend to stand for the position. It was not long ago Mr. Bridges was considered the front runner for any leadership change, but that's now less certain. The caucus will be weighing the impact of the past few days on his reputation. There's also the question of other contenders, in particular Christopher Luxon, the fresh-faced MP and former Air New Zealand boss. On Friday morning, RNZ's political editor Jane Patterson canvassed the options on Morning Report.
Look, there are three names really that I think we should be looking at, and that is Chris Luxon, Simon Bridges, and actually Chris Bishop is another potential contender. You know, we do have Mark Mitchell, of course, as well. But as we've seen in other leadership contests, he puts his name forward often, but then can maybe struggle to get that support. So his name's in the mix. And then for Deputy Nicola Willis, Erica Stanford. So they're the general kind of mix that are being talked about at the moment.
Mm. We don't have a tradition, do we, in New Zealand, of a leader coming back after losing the job. I know they do in Australia. There's been several revolving doors there. Do you think that that counts against Simon Bridges, that we don't really have this culture of a leader coming back after being demoted?
I'm not sure it's the culture of someone coming back. It's more what the public have seen of Simon Bridges, whether they liked it or not, and whether they want to see him back in that role. Now, of course, he's been going through a personal rehabilitation since being rolled by Todd Muller, trying to lighten his personality a little bit. And, you know, there is a feeling among some in the caucus that actually he was robbed of that opportunity to contest that 2020 election. But again, obviously it comes down to how the public receives the new leader, whether they think they are the person, whether you go back to the future with Simon Bridges or go for an unknown like Chris Luxon.
Mm. You see Chris Luxon probably most days, or you observe him in Parliament quite closely. How quickly has he adapted to this? Because the major thing for people looking at him would be, is he ready yet?
Absolutely, and that is actually something that you do not know until you're in that job. And as we saw with Todd Muller, it is an incredibly difficult job. And having a very successful career in business, for example, doesn't necessarily prepare you for the job of opposition leader. Look, Chris Luxon is smart. He's experienced. He has been laying very low. Of course, you know, dubbed a future leader before he even arrived in the place. He has his set lines that he rolls out when he's inevitably asked about the leadership. But he has been watching and waiting and learning. I think the plan was probably not to go at this point, but to wait a little bit longer. But as we see in politics, events change.
And so the jockeying begins. From the sidelines, commentators are already chiming in.
I think to go back to Bridges would be a mistake. At the moment, the focus seems to be all on Luxon and Bridges, but I think you probably should be looking across the field.
I have a very soft spot for Dr. Shane Nutty.
You know, Luxon does represent more of a break with the past, certainly.
OK, I think you've illustrated the question, which is there's no obvious candidate with all the qualities demonstrated.
Senior national figures are also popping up with their thoughts, and none of them are particularly happy with their party. The former minister, Christopher Finlayson, was characteristically blunt.
Well, I simply don't understand what happened yesterday. It's beyond human comprehension, really. But it is what it is, and I think that if there's a good competition between some of the names that have been suggested, the party can finally move on. Maybe Simon and Judith need to reflect on the events of the last 18 months. And consider whether or not they should perhaps move on for the good of the party.
Another former minister, Jonathan Coleman, was despairing in his take.
Quite diabolical. I mean, I think people thought we were through this endless cycle of chaos. And, you know, once again, unfortunately, the party hasn't failed to surprise, just when you thought, you know, it couldn't get any worse. I think people are just dumbfounded, frankly, with last night's development and what's played out. I mean, it did feel like Judith's leadership was coming towards the end, but, you know, it suddenly disappeared in a sort of kamikaze attack, which has ended up taking herself out, unfortunately.
And then Sir David Carter, a former speaker and party board member.
It's a mess that needs to be sorted, and I hope they can do that on Tuesday and get back to being an effective opposition.
Do you think they should have tried to sort it out this week?
I would have preferred them to do that, because now they've got everybody chattering about it for the next 3 or 4 days. Whilst I agree that the firing of Judith was sudden, there's been rumours of leadership change going on now for weeks, so I would have thought caucus was in the position to have a decent discussion yesterday, unite behind one person and get on with it. Listen, I'm not part of caucus, they didn't do it that way, so now they're going to do it, hopefully, sort a bit more out over the weekend and announce leader on Tuesday and get on with the job.
Many in the caucus and wider party still hope to avoid a challenge at all. They want the various contenders and their supporters to come together and reach an arrangement suitable for everybody. It's not impossible, but it will be tough given the personalities involved. The phones are running hot. The
caucus needs to take a breath and get some energy back because it's been a tough day. It's been quite emotional up there too.
We've got 4 days in front of us and as Shane said, it's time for deep reflection.
We've got lots of good caucus members and there's a few that would make good leaders, so we'll just see who's prepared to put their hand up, who gets approached.
I'm really hopeful. When a tree falls, provides space for new light to come in and new trees to grow, and we've got some fantastic talent in our party, so we'll do well.
But sometimes when a tree falls, it squashes someone. When Ms Collins took over as leader last year, this programme noted the almighty task ahead of her, and the same is true of her successor. The caucus remains riven with factions, full of grudges and grievances, not to mention Judith Collins, no longer in charge but still very much in the caucus. She was called the nuclear option. The next leader will have to find a way to defuse her. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Craig McCulloch. Thanks for joining us. Matiwa.